name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. As we look at the Word of God once again on this broadcast today, we're going once more to the Colossian Epistle. I think you're aware of the fact that this epistle was written by the Apostle Paul, and it seems to follow a line that is very similar to the Ephesian Epistle. You know, someone said to me not too long ago, they said, when you read these epistles, how were these actually carried to the churches, to the congregations, and how were they imparted to them? Of course, I simply can tell you from the standpoint of historical fact, we do read in the epistles certain names that are found there, and this would cause the translators, it would cause the editors of various editions of the Bible to simply say that a letter was written at a certain time by the Apostle Paul or by others and delivered by certain ones. Now, we don't always know about this, but I'm led to believe that it is a safe factor to say that these epistles, when they were delivered to the assembly, were no doubt read in different congregations. Now, I can picture one of the elders getting up on Lord's Day morning, which is our Sunday, and standing before the congregation and saying, we have received an epistle from the Apostle Paul. He may have been a prisoner when he wrote it. And then it would be read in the assembly. Of course, you understand at that time it was not divided into chapters and verses. So when we consider a teaching, we must consider it in that light, just as though it were a letter that you had received from a friend. Oftentimes on the first page of that letter, so to speak, the friend may refer to a certain event. Then later, maybe on page 2 or 3, that person will refer once again to that very thing. One place where this is especially true is in that Ephesian epistle, where Paul begins talking about the church as being the body of Christ, as Christ being the head. And then he talks about one body, and he talks about the body in different sense. It all refers to the body of Christ, the church. And we've already found here in the Colossian epistle, in Colossians 1:18, that he, referring to Christ as the head of the body, the church who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. On the broadcast last week, we attempted to bring out to you the orderly life as Paul wrote in Colossians 2:5. And picture this now as we tie in with our lesson today, which is going to be found in the 6th verse, what this would mean in the assembly to the congregation who heard one of the elders reading this letter from the Apostle Paul. He said, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So what he's saying here in verse 6, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You know, as I go about the country preaching the gospel, I find numerous times in every meeting that there must be some reference made to the principle as found in Colossians 2:6, the as and so verse. And that's what I want you to think about on the broadcast today. The as in this case refers to what people did in becoming a Christian, not alone to what they obeyed, but also, we might say, toward their attitude. The so refers to the Christian life. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, we can say about the Christian life, or under the caption of so, that the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:7, a very outstanding passage, told the Christians to walk by faith and not by sight. But the as and so is like a proverbial teeter-totter or a weight. The old weight that they put the weights on one side of the scale and put the merchandise on the other, and when it balanced, they knew that they had the amount that they wanted. So the point is that the as is one part of the scale, the so is the other part. You see, a person in living the Christian life, where Paul is directing his remarks to the Colossians, must realize that if they're going to live this orderly life, if they're going to appreciate the true meaning of a Christian, if they're going to go on to eternal salvation, then it's well to make a comparison. So the point is, in living the Christian life, they should put forth as much effort to come to know what the Bible teaches, the zeal that they have, the energy, the willingness to put forth time and talent, the willingness to give to the Lord as they've been prospered. In other words, do in principle, in Christian living, from these standpoints, what you did to become a Christian. You know, I've talked to a lot of people who would be under conviction before they obeyed the gospel. And these people would spend hours in reading the Bible. I'm especially thinking of one man that's very close to me. I know him. I see him from time to time. He wasn't a Christian at one time, and I used to go to his place of business and talk to him about becoming a Christian. On one occasion, he simply told me that he was delaying because he wanted to know that he was doing the right thing, and I commended him for that. And you know, the interesting thing about this fellow, he's taken the same attitude after he became a Christian. He wants to know what the Word of God says. He wants to operate according to the teaching of God's Word. So a person might spend many hours in meditating and reading and concentrating upon what the Bible teaches so that he will know what is proper and right. Some years ago, a lady was having difficulty with the word church. She was looking at it, first of all, from the standpoint of what she sees on the religious scene in the world, and that's confusing. That's a so-called spiritual hodgepodge. But finally, she got to looking at what the Bible taught about it. And I remember receiving a letter from her one time when I was out in the state of Pennsylvania. And she simply said, I have found out what this word means. Well, the point that I want to emphasize is that the same effort that was put forth to become a Christian must be put forth to live the Christian life. You see, when one becomes a Christian many times, whether it be young in years or older in years, that person may display a great amount of zeal. Now, we truly want to channel that zeal. We don't want to quench it. We want to channel that zeal, associating it with knowledge from God's Word, that that person might go on to develop and grow. You know, I had an experience when I first began preaching the gospel in southern Illinois, where a man was baptized into Christ following service one night. When I got to the church building, and as most of you know, we generally get there early, when I got to the church building the next night, there he was waiting in the building for me. And I was glad to see him. We talked a little bit. I had a diagram to put on the board, so I went about doing that. And as I turned and looked at him, he was standing in the middle of the room, very pensive. And I said, Joe, is there something I can help you with? He said, you know, I have a burning desire to do something for the Lord. What can I do for the Lord, even before this service tonight or during this service? Well, he was a newborn babe in Christ. I didn't really know whether he was qualified to pray publicly or not. But I finally thought of something. I said, Joe, do you want to pick up the songbooks and put them in a rack? And you know, he was delighted to do this. Now, that seems to be a very menial task, doesn't it? But I want to tell you one thing. Songbooks were never put into a rack with more tender care than Joe put them in that night before service. He passed the songbooks out at the door, the ones he had left over, to people who came in. And they realized that was the man who was immersed into Christ. He thanked me following the service that I'd come up with that idea. I'm telling you, it's something I had to think of quick. But the point is simply this, that here was a person that was zealous. Here's a person that wanted to go to work for the Lord. You know, it's like people we hear sometimes who do great things for the Lord as newborn babes. One man I heard about not too long ago, they said, you know, when he came out of the water, he was running. And he hasn't stopped running so far. In other words, he wanted to go to work for the Lord. Now, why is it, maybe you have the answer, that there are some people who have this zeal when they become Christians, but then they cool off. They don't seem to put forth the effort that they should in living the Christian life. Well, someone says, I wonder what's happening here. Well, I don't know. I can't judge their heart, but I've wondered about it. When the Bible says, let us not give place to the devil. You know, the thing I try to emphasize in talking to people, and I suppose this is just some human idea, but I want you to think of it in the light of the Bible. Take it if you think it's good. It'll be your own just as much as it is mine. But I have a sincere desire, as I look at the Word of God, to find out how people obey the gospel. I believe they obey it from their heart. That's how they receive, as they receive Christ Jesus. They're conscientious. Their heart is set upon becoming a Christian, obeying the gospel, being born again. You know, that person living the Christian life, if he or she has made a provision for the flesh, Are they going to be like the Israelites looking back out of the wilderness into Egypt and saying, would to God we were back in Egypt? They talked about the good things they had back there. They didn't talk about the taskmaster's whip. They didn't talk about the treasure cities that they built for Pharaoh and the mistreatment, maybe even death that came to their families. But you know, people sometimes cool off. And I want to say this one thing. You examine your life today as a Christian. If you're not genuine to the core, if you're professing to be something and you know you're not, that's hypocrisy. And you know, if a person isn't genuine to the core, Christianity is so styled and designed, friends, that the soul is going to prove how far we are removed from dedication. Because our shortcoming, our hypocrisy, our lust will actually surface. Haven't you heard the case of someone who maybe has been a Christian for a number of years? You go back to the community and they say, well, that person just left the church. He just completely kicked over the traces. He left the church. And someone says, well, how in the world could that man leave the Lord? How in the world could he leave the church? He was so devoted. But you see, the point is that he may not have been genuine to the core. The apple may look good when you see it on the stand or when you see it on the rack at the store. But I found apples that were rotten at the core. You see, the point is that the Christian life is something that we must exert an effort to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We need the help of God. We need the help of our brethren. We need to pray to God. We need to actually encourage ourselves and encourage others to live the Christian life. Put forth that same effort, that same drive, that same determination to live for the Lord as you did to come to know him. And I want to tell you people, Paul wants these brethren at Colossae to so walk. Walk indicates progress, and it indicates consistency. Running indicates a pace. You see, a person starts on a walk, maybe he's going to walk 5 miles. And when he looks at it, to begin with, he said that's going to be a long ways. But you see, if he continues on putting one foot, so to speak, ahead of the other, he eventually is going to reach his destination. Paul says that we are lay aside the sins, the weights that so easily beset us, and we are to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. So the thing that will cause your life and my life to be orderly in the Lord, that will cause us to place the emphasis on the word so walk, in Colossians 2 and 6, is to realize that faith that is sound and secure is a good foundation upon which to build. Perhaps an elementary lesson on that would be to add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. For as Peter said, if these things be in you and abound, they're going to make something out of you. They're going to make you a walker that is putting forth the effort in Christian living that you did to become a Christian. I trust this lesson can be a benefit to you. It's come from the Word of God. If we can personally help you to so walk in the Christian life as you receive the Lord according to His will, let us know. Your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ stand ready to help you and your entire family in serving the Lord. Why don't you plan to be there to the service at the next meeting? Come bring your Bible and your entire family. Join this circle of disciples as they study God's Word, as they meditate upon it, that you may be edified in the Lord. Go forth to serve Him. If you have questions, feel free to pass them on. Tell a friend and neighbor about the broadcast and be with us next week as we look once again at Bible teaching for our day. People know a lot about the things about them. Let's know about the things that God wants in our life on the inside. Let's be true and genuine to the core that we might so walk in Him. May God bless us as we obey that marvelous and wonderful truth.